Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 16, Last Day on Earth. It was the season finale, and it was written by Scott Gimple and Matthew Negrit, who are part of the show. We've talked about them before.
Yes.
They're heavily involved in the show, and then it was directed by Greg Nicotero, who's already directed several episodes this season already.
Yeah.
All right, so we've watched the episode twice.
Yes, we have.
What did you think, Gary?
Shocking, to say the least. This was a gut-wrenching episode.
All day yesterday, I kept saying, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, it was so sick. And even though we didn't see who got killed, just to know that they were brutally murdered, I mean, beat to death. If they're not dead, let's just by say some miracle they're not dead, how do you survive? How do you go on after that? Even the people that didn't get hurt.
Even the people that witnessed it?
Yeah, like, how do you, like, I would pack my bags and leave. Like, okay, we're leaving. Bye, Alexandria. We are packing our stuff. We will leave in sets of four or whatever, and let's go to the West Coast or somewhere else.
Yeah, it's time to move.
Definitely move. Not to the next block over, not to the next state over. Like, several states over. Go back to Georgia, I don't know. Or just stay out of the South altogether.
Yeah.
Maybe go to North Dakota or something.
Yeah, this group is huge.
Yeah, there's no way you can outrun them. You're going to have to follow the rules just like the Hilltop were doing. So at this point, it's definitely time to move. But we love the episode. Few announcements, though, before we go ahead and start. We are podcasting remotely today, so the sound may sound a little different. You may hear a little echo because we're in a big room. We're on vacation with our family. It's spring break. And we will also be podcasting Fear the Walking Dead, which comes on next week. So be prepared to hear us next week. Next Sunday, we will do an instant cast on that first episode. And then you guys will hear more of how the Fear the Walking Dead will go. Because we are going to do it a little bit differently than The Walking Dead. Because Game of Thrones will be coming on the same time as Fear the Walking Dead. And unfortunately, Game of Thrones trumps Fear.
Yeah.
Any day. So we'll talk about that more next week, but those are just a few announcements that we had. And if this is your first time listening to the podcast, the way it works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, then we have any listener letters, and we do an award and a 7-month prediction at this point, because Walking Dead's not coming back on until probably October.
Yeah, we'll do a new season prediction.
A new season prediction. Or we can predict who we think Negan killed and everything else.
Yeah.
All right. We have a lot of likes because we enjoyed the episode this week. Small like, but I like that sign at the beginning when Morgan was going through the woods or whatever it was.
Like the farm area.
Yeah. And there was the sign saying, "You are alive." And then he even says it to the horse. And it's such a simple statement. But if you think about it, if you're reading that sign, you are alive.
Definitely. I mean, that means a lot in this zombie apocalypse. Especially, you know, seeing all that death around you.
Yeah, because just because you're walking around doesn't mean you're alive. The walkers are walking around all the time. But if you're able to read this sign...
That's what it should say. If you're reading this sign...
You are alive, yes. It was a small like, but I liked it. Carl and Enid's conversation we discussed on our instant cast. But I liked that whole scene because they were going back and forth between... I think, who were they going? Oh, they were chasing the guy in the woods. And then they were going back to Enid and Carl's scene. I liked how the director did that, but I also liked their conversation itself.
I like both scenes.
Yes. Carl telling Enid, "You got to stay behind." He's kind of like trying to be the adult here. But Enid's like, "Hold on. You want to run into these people. Like, you're not going out there to have Maggie's back. You're going out there because you think you want to get in on some action." And I just think several of the conversations all of the characters have throughout this episode shows where their mind was at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
Compared to what they're thinking now. The whole time when we watched it, well, the first time I didn't really care, but after knowing what happened, the second time when we were watching, all I kept saying is, "Stay with her, Carl. Lock yourself in that closet with her. Like, stay behind."
I'm glad Carl went.
Why?
I wish his advice was listened to a little more on this trip.
Well, when he kept saying, like, "Let's get him," like when they were on the road.
Yeah, let's go ahead and finish him.
Okay. Okay, I have a little more to say on that, because when him and Rick, later on when they were running through the woods, I do kind of wonder what Rick was going to say to him. But we can get that for a moment. But I do like that Carl told Enid when she's like, what if you don't come back? And he's like, JSS.
Yeah, just survive somehow.
Just survive somehow. So we're like, whoa, we haven't heard JSS in a while. So that was cool. I like that. All right. So at the beginning of the episode, we see all of them trying to explain to Rick why they should be allowed to go on the RV and go and help with Maggie.
Well, not really explain to them, but tell them that they're going and why they're going.
And why they're going. Demand. They weren't asking Rick. They were telling him.
Yeah.
Aaron went as far as saying, you're going to have to punch me and tie me up again, which is a callback to when they first met Aaron and Rick was an asshole, to keep me out of this RV. But we really enjoyed Eugene. He said, don't try to shine me.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
I guess don't try to brush him off. Don't try to dismiss him.
Okay. Like he's irrelevant or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I liked it.
Because we see Eugene's been stepping up lately.
Yeah, Eugene has grown some balls over the last few weeks. He killed his first walker. He's killed some humans now. I think he's killed some humans. He had to kill some humans by now.
Yeah, he had to.
So he's grown some balls. I kind of like this new, confident Eugene.
He's grown some balls. Took a bite out of some balls.
Yeah, that's how he grew them. All right, Pastor Gabriel. Everyone's hated Pastor Gabriel, even myself, since the beginning almost. But now even he has stepped up, and when he tells Rick how they have an evacuation plan set, I love hearing that, how they already have a rendezvous point. I love hearing that. But he also told Rick, in an event of an emergency, my first priority is Judith.
Yeah.
And I loved that. I love seeing that he's stepping up. It took him long enough, but not as long as Eugene. And
let's clear that up, because yeah. I never hated Pastor Gabriel.
Okay. Well, I disliked Pastor Gabriel when he betrayed them, when he tried to tell Deanna not to let them in. That's when I started disliking Pastor Gabriel.
I didn't. I mean, this was a man, I said from the get-go that this is a man of the cloth. He's not ready to kill. He shouldn't have to kill if he don't want to. And he may have felt that Rich Group was a bad group. Like we mentioned before, he did see him slaughter people inside the church.
Yeah, but he knew that was in self-defense still.
It's just self-defense until they're dead. But to continue hammering their head, you know, with the gun barrel into the ground over and over and over again.
I'll agree with that.
You know, it's passive defense.
All right. So as much as we do not like the saviors because they hurt our group, we do like the saviors at the same time. We love them, but we also hate them.
Yeah, we have a love-hate relationship. We hate them, but we love their technique, their organization.
Well, actually, I would say that The Walking Dead has done a really good job with, and I think I mentioned it before, with all of the villains. They always have really good villains. Sometimes their villains are better than the normal actors that's on the show.
Right.
They write them really well. Like, even the governor. For a minute, season 3 was my favorite season when they first got introduced to the governor and Woodbury. I love that whole season. I still do, but I think I've watched it so much that I don't like it as much anymore, but I loved it when I first saw it. But the saviors this week, and I think I was a little confused on our instant cast because I kept saying, did they think that guy that they killed was part of Rick's group? And it turns out after watching a second time, they knew he wasn't part of Rick's group.
Right. He was the last of his group.
Right. Because they told Rick he's someone with a whole lot of someones who didn't listen. So pretty much, and he said, you guys killed everyone that was at the library, so that's where his group must have been hanging out.
Right. There's no one left to see you make an example out of me.
Right. And then here we get the title of the episode, and it resonates so deeply throughout the episode. Do you want to make today your last day on Earth? That is what Rick asked the saviors. And it was funny when they threw that question back at him, and then they used that statement going forward for the rest of the episode.
Right. When Rick said it, the guy said, I'm glad you said that.
We also realized that the saviors must know where they're going, because they said, there's more than one way to get to where you're going.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if they were using that as a metaphor for something bigger, like you're going to have to come and speak with us eventually. We're going to have to come to an agreement eventually. Or if they really meant, hey, there's more than one way to get to the hilltop. But for some reason, I liked it. And I think it meant more than what he said.
I think it meant it's more than one way to get to where we want you to go. You don't have to come with us right here, right now. But you will, no matter which way you take, you have to come see us. Because remember, they took Rick and the group to where they wanted them, not where Rick and them wanted to go.
Right.
Because he said, you finally made it once they got there.
Yeah. I like the saviors are good. The saviors are real good. All right. It was a little funny. It was funny. Eugene was telling Sasha, let me set it up. Eugene was telling Sasha the best route to take when they first realized they were trapped. And he's using all these weird metaphors. And she looks at him and she goes, are you being serious? He goes, yeah. But I was thinking, Sasha, you're questioning his words, the choice of words he uses. Abraham uses some crazy sayings as well. But at the same time, it was still funny because she's looking at him like, wait, all these little words that you just used, are you really being serious right now? But I thought it was funny. But at the same time, I was thinking, Sasha, are you not used to that weirdness?
Yeah, Eugene and Abraham feed off each other.
They do.
I think Abraham picked up on some of Eugene's slang along the way. Or vice versa.
Vice versa, yeah, definitely.
They want to see who got outshine each other with the choice of words, right, or the metaphors.
I'm going to have to push pause on this conversation. All right, so Carol Morgan's conversation, when they were talking about killing the people, killing for the people you love or dying alone, I actually like that because Carol's explaining to him, and she makes sense. If I stay with you guys, I'm going to have to kill because I love you guys and I don't want anyone to hurt you. But Morgan made a good comeback where he said, yeah, but if you come out here, you're going to have to kill anyways, or you're going to end up dying and you're going to die alone. And of course, being a big Lost fan that I am, all I thought about was when Jack on episode 1, season 1 of Lost said, we live together, die alone. How true that statement is in real life and everywhere you go. So she can either live with the group and do what she has to do, or she's going to end up dying alone.
And going to still have to do what she got to do anyway.
Yeah, she's going to still have to kill to survive.
I mean, we already saw her on the road. She had to kill to survive.
She killed within like 10 minutes after leaving Alexandria. She should have just turned back around and went back home because she's like, oh, there goes my killing, my non-killing thing, you know? She was almost a day sober of non-killing. And then
almost.
She had to start back over. Okay, so what do you think about Abraham and Sasha discussing starting a family?
Well, we already knew how they felt about each other. But now it just gets deeper. We see Abraham is like head over heels.
Right, because just 2 weeks ago, he was talking about how it was crazy that Glenn and Maggie started a family. Now he's saying, yeah, I can do that now.
Right.
Which implied that I didn't see myself doing that with Rosita, but I could see myself starting a family with you.
So that's a go back to say that Rosita was just there.
She was, he said it as wrong as it was, and I still disagree with how he handled it. He thought she was the last woman on earth, a very pretty last woman on earth, but there was never that connection that he has with Sasha.
Yeah, but I wonder where that connection came from. It's not like they had, like, a whole lot of interaction with each other.
They haven't.
Was it, like, just love at first sight?
No, I mean, I'm thinking of all the interactions. I remember when they were on the road and Sasha was going through her crazy town. And he was like, hey, you're with friends here. And she's like, we are not friends. Like, I remember them talking then. And then when this season here, when they gave each other the peace sign, that's really all I saw of them.
Yeah, it wasn't too much interaction.
No. I mean, well, that the same thing could be said for Carol and Tobin. It's like, did we ever see them say one word to each other before they started hooking up or whatever?
Yeah, we saw them have a conversation. I'm pretty sure that conversation was before they start hooking up.
They had a conversation before?
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't ever remember seeing them talk to each other. Like, I was surprised she knew who Tobin was.
When they had, acorn conversation?
Oh, I mean, that was all in the same episode, though. The same episode that they hooked up.
That's all it takes, that one conversation.
No, but was there ever a conversation prior to that episode?
Well, we don't know if they were head over heels with each other.
Yeah, that's true.
That they were probably, it was probably convenient.
Yeah. But them having this conversation here, Abraham and Sasha, it makes me, like, so many points here point to who got killed. But then I go, oh, that person got killed because of this, or that person got killed because of this. But when Abraham says, just so you know, it made me think, oh, he's going to die.
Yeah, a lot of people said the stuff you just don't say in movies, the horror movies.
Right, the I'll be back.
Yeah, a lot of people said the wrong thing. No telling who died because everybody said something.
Yeah, but look at Denise. She told Tara she would tell her she loves her when she comes back, and Denise is never coming back.
Yeah.
Which just made me realize, I know a lot of people were mad that Denise was killed last week or whenever that happened, 2 weeks ago. But I realized her death had to happen.
It had to.
If her death didn't happen, they would have never left Alexandria for help to the Hilltop. I mean, none of this would have happened if Denise didn't die.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a season finale.
So
they would have had to cancel it.
No, but at some point, actually, we got to blame Denise. She should have stayed her butt in Alexandria. If she never left to go off on an adventure, all this stuff trickled down.
Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and start with blaming this whole domino effect of Daryl. But you're right. Maybe
it started prior to Daryl leaving.
Or let's just say it could have started Rosita. Because she would have never took the train track.
No, it starts before then. If Denise never left, we don't know what would have happened with Carol.
But I'm saying that was the start of this downfall. The start of this downfall was the train tracks. Because they all could have left together and they all could have took the woods or whatever. And came back and took the woods back and made it fine.
All right. I guess we don't know who to blame. It's happening now.
No need to blame anyone. Yeah, it's like the butterfly effect.
Right.
That once one thing happened, leads to another. And I think that maybe if Daryl wouldn't have ran off, then everybody wouldn't have went after him.
But that's true. But I say it still starts way before. Daryl would never run off if Denise wasn't dead. Denise wouldn't have died if she never left Alexandria.
Well, Denise wouldn't have died if Rosita would have never took the train tracks.
Okay. All right. So we mentioned how much we love the Saviors. But one of the other things we liked is how they trapped Rick's crew. I mean, we're against it, but we loved it.
Well, let's not say we love the Saviors, because I don't love the Saviors.
Well, we don't love the Saviors, but we like...
I just like their technique.
Their technique. They're very organized.
Very.
For them to be like savage killers, they are very, very organized.
But this brings a question to my head, and I was going to ask you the question during the show, but when did they get so organized? I mean, this is a group of people that when we seen them the beginning of this season, when Daryl ran into them, they weren't doing all that whistling when they were in the woods looking for the people.
You're right.
Like, where did this whistling come from? And also, they were very sloppy in their technique. They wanted to give a big... Well, we see why they give a big speech, because, you know, their leader.
Right.
Negan's a big speech guy. But, you know, they were giving, like, huge speeches and just... They weren't organized at all. They were just getting demolished left and right.
I'm going to say that them whistling probably came in the writing room somewhere. They're probably like, you know, it'd be even more scarier and creepy is if we had them whistling. And they didn't think of this until around episode 12, 13.
Yeah, they thought about it late.
Yeah.
I guess they forgot they already introduced us to them.
Right, right. With Dwight and them in the woods. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've changed so much about and stuff in The Walking Dead. I mean, from how the walkers were in season one to how they are now. They're different. We discussed before. So. Some creative stuff comes in the writing room and...
Yeah, a lot of things change, but it's just crazy to me when they just add new characters to a character we already have. Like, people that we already have, they turn them into somebody else, like, mid-season. We don't see that happen gradually. Just, you know, one day, they're, you know, just in the woods, just running around looking for somebody, can't find them, unorganized. And the next day, these guys are some, like, whistling maniacs. They walk on air. You can't even hear them in the woods.
Well, in their defense, I can say that maybe they, just like Rick's group, they learn from their mistakes from past events. So the Saviors probably learn from their mistakes from past events. They were like, okay, we can find them in the woods here. You know what would freak them out so they can't even know which direction we're coming from is if we're whistling. Because we're whistling, it's an echo. You don't know where that whistle sound is coming from. You hear it all around. That's a crazy theory. I'm just throwing it out there, but it's a possibility that that's why they changed the way they're doing things.
Maybe, but just know I'm calling bullshit.
Okay. Okay. What did you think of the walkers that were in the middle road tied together, having Michonne's hair and Daryl's arrows on them?
I kind of like that scene, but I think you called BS on that.
I called BS only because, and we'll have to watch again, but you were saying, I don't know about it. At first, I thought the walker was supposed to have Michonne's, like, vest on and her clothes. I was like, bullshit. Like, how did they get those clothes on a walker? But in the end, I can't remember what Michonne had on when they brought her out. Like, did she have her little, you know, her little outfit on?
Was her vest back on?
Yeah. So, but Gary's like, no, I think it's just the hair, that they pinned the hair to the walker.
I think it was just the hair. But I also brought up, because I noticed that the vest, that once you brought it to my attention, and I said, well, maybe they did that before they died. But Nicole made a very good point that those walkers were too old to have died within like the day that Michonne was missing.
Right.
They caught her.
Because I was like, oh, that's Michonne's outfit. And Gary's like, oh, they probably put it on the walk before they died. I'm like, that's an old walker. It wasn't like a new, fresh walker. That walker's been dead for a good year. We'll see. I haven't seen anyone mention it on any forums that it was Michonne's clothing, but it looked like Michonne's clothing. Like, I didn't notice the hair on the walker until Rick pulled it off. I was paying attention to the clothing because it looked like she had Michonne's little jacket thing, her little vest or whatever on. So
yeah, you know, maybe the vest is popular in the zombie apocalypse.
Maybe that's like the go-to vest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe everybody just rocking a vest now.
Right. Everyone's rocking the leather. That's what you wear in the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
But it is kind of, I mean, even though it's hot, leather's smart because the walkers might not be able to bite through it as easily.
Yeah, it's safe.
So it's a good idea.
I mean, we saw Negan. He had on one leather glove.
Did he?
Yeah.
He had a leather jacket on.
He had a leather jacket, one glove on.
I saw someone write on Reddit, like, damn it, I was just going to buy that leather jacket. But now that Negan wore it, it's going to be super popular. The price is going to be now sky high for that type of leather jacket versus if I bought it like a week ago and no one was thinking of that leather jacket.
Right.
So I was like, damn it. All right. Morgan killing the savior. I love it, sort of, kind of. I mean, I love that he did what he had to do to save Carol.
Well, we see everything goes around in a full circle in The Walking Dead. That Carol just had a conversation with him earlier, and it came back around. He had to kill somebody just to save Carol.
Right.
The thing about Morgan is I don't think that Morgan won't kill or hate to kill. I think Morgan want to go over other options. Because he's always trying to bring up other options. Well, do you think we could beat him? Well, let's just tell him.
Right. Because, like, when he told the guy, he gave the guy an option. He was like, hey, you don't have to do this. Like, put it down. And he was still going to try to, like, reason with the guy.
Right.
So, I think Morgan, like you just said, it's not that he has a problem with killing. He can easily do it. He probably won't lose sleep over it.
Because it didn't look like he lost any sleep. It looked like he didn't care less.
Yeah. But he preferred not to.
Right.
Whereas Carol, she is now losing sleep over it. She doesn't feel good about it. She can still do it, but it'll hurt her inside. Like, every time she kills, it'll be like, oh, I'm so sad. Where Morgan, he's like, I did it. I know I did it, and it was the last resort that I did it.
Oh, well, let's move on.
Yes. The superheroes coming to Morgan and Carol's rescue, I like them.
Yeah, but who are they?
I believe they're in the comic books. I don't read the comic books, but when you go on websites and try to get in forums and discuss stuff, those comic book readers, they love to tell you what they know. So I don't even remember what I read, but I heard them, looked away, but from whatever they said, I can't remember exactly, they're from the comic book. So I'm excited to see them. I don't know their names yet. I can't remember what I saw online, but I'm just going to call them our superheroes right now, because they came in and it, like you just said, everything goes around in a big circle because Rick almost killed that guy.
Yeah, you're right.
And this guy could end up saving Rick's life. And if Rick would have killed him, and luckily Morgan was there to stop it. So everything has that ripple effect to it.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll learn their names and everything like that next season. We liked a lot of the sayings that all the characters said this week. One of them was Abraham saying, we are neck deep up Ship Creek with our mouths wide open.
No, we are neck deep up Shit's Creek with our mouths wide open.
Oh, Shit's Creek.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes it even better. Okay, that was funny.
That is.
It's like, man, you're about to die. You can still come up with these crazy ass sayings. Like, where do you come up with it?
I think that was just a scared saying.
Okay.
Because that's a popular saying.
That's a popular saying?
Yeah.
Like, we are fucked. That's a popular saying. We're screwed. That's a popular saying. We are neck deep. That means a tongue twister, if you ask me. I'm trying to say it right now. But it was still funny. All right, so I've talked a lot of shit about Eugene. I stand behind it because I said it. But he did sacrifice himself or attempted to sacrifice himself for the group this time.
Yeah.
And I really loved it.
Right.
And it also made me think maybe Eugene could have possibly gotten killed from Negan. Because he gave Rick the recipe to make the bullets. And he said, give this to Abraham. Which also leads to, could it be Abraham? I mean, there's so many little things that goes, did this person die? Did that person die? But when he gave the recipe to, well, he caught the recipe, but when he gave the instructions on how to make those bullets to Rick, I was like, I'm glad he did this because we'll probably never see him again. He's going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw him, but.
And we saw him a little beat up.
Yeah, we'll get to it because it's kind of, I think it's on our dislikes. Sort of, kind of. We'll see. All right, Carl, I love this because it actually came back up so soon. Carl said, what happened to Denise? I'm not going to let anyone die like that again. And then Rick said, son. And Carl was like, what? And then that's when the Savior started whistling or whatever.
Yeah.
So two things I want to discuss in this part. It shows how young Carl is. Like, he kind of like his dad. Like, I'm not going to let that happen to anyone again. Like, dude, you don't realize you have zero control right now. Like, you don't have control over anything. And then two, what do you think Rick was going to tell him?
I don't know, but we'll find out next season.
Well, at this point, I don't think Rick is going to have that same conversation with Carl right now that he would have at that moment.
I think so, because we see Carl is still unfazed by what's happening.
You think he's unfazed? When Negan was talking to, I think all of them look like I'm not fearing shit, but they were all fearing shit.
I don't know. Carl had that. I mean, even Negan had to say, boy, lighten up.
Cry or something.
Because Carl, he's just so hard right now.
Okay. I mean, the only thing I would probably be one of two people in that scene. I'd be shitting my pants, throwing up, and he would probably just kill me because I'm a hazard. Like he almost did with Maggie because she looked like half dead anyways. Or I would be one of those people like Michonne and like Abraham and Carl that just kept my head high. Like if I'm going to die, let me just die.
Right.
There's no in between. I guess there really is no in between, really. It's either you're going to keep your head high or you're going to die scared shitless. You know?
And we saw a couple of our favorites with their head held high.
Michonne. I know Michonne, Abraham.
And Carl. Right.
Aaron looked a little, like Sasha and Aaron were in the in-betweens.
I don't know. Aaron, he looked kind of unfazed also.
He didn't look as strong as Abraham. He looked like he was a little scared.
But he didn't look as scared as Sasha.
Okay. So there's several levels to this.
Yeah, there was a lot of levels to the scaredness.
Okay. Rick looks scared.
Yeah, Rick looks super scared.
But I want to talk about that because I think we have it on our list somewhere. Maybe we don't. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, Rick was actually shaking.
I think Rick, because when we were watching it the second time, Gary's like, how can they follow him? He was so scared after this. But I don't think he was scared for himself. He's scared just like how him and Abraham had that conversation. Like, are you scared? He's scared for all that he can lose. He has a son. He has a daughter. He has a new girlfriend. He has all these people that he led here, ultimately.
And he's probably feeling like it's his fault, like Morgan said. You started this war.
Right. Even though we've been talking about whose fault is whose fault, it's no one's fault, Manegan's fault.
Well, you have to think about this. That Alexandria been there for a long time. Negan's group been here for a long time.
And they've never messed with Alexandria. Okay. Because they felt Alexandria really didn't have much.
Right.
Alexandria didn't have no guards or anything protecting it, so Negan either didn't know it was there or didn't think those people were worth their time.
Yeah, probably weren't worth their time. Like, man, them people about to die off anyway.
Right.
But like Morgan said, you started this war. Because we heard Negan say that you killed my people, so I sent my people to kill your people, and then you killed those people. So Negan, he knew where to look for them. He knew where to send his people to kill the people.
Yeah, that's actually next on our likes list.
So I'm thinking if Rick would have never took on this challenge, and I'm not going to say Rick put the blame on him, because it was a group effort. Everybody wanted to go, including me and Nicole. So this was a group effort. So I'm going to say we. If we would have never went to try to take the Saviors out, this probably wouldn't be happening now.
That is true. I mean, like we've been saying all episodes so far, that it's all of it's had a ripple effect. Unfortunately, we don't know if what would have happened if they didn't go, what the Saviors came to them. But I think if the Saviors would have came to them, they would have had a better chance.
They would have had a fighting chance. Yeah.
You know, they already have so many little Gabriel said there's so many little places that they have extraction points. They have a rendezvous point. I think they should have. I know it's being reactive, but at this point, I would never go out looking for the trouble. All right. And then you mentioned Negan when he said that when I sent my people to kill your people for killing my people, you killed more of my people. Not cool. So not cool. Oh, I just love Jeffrey Dean Morgan. He can do no wrong in my book. I've seen some criticism of him as Negan, and we'll get to that on dislikes, but I thought he did an awesome job.
Yeah, I thought he did an excellent job.
He's awesome.
But I've seen criticism over it also.
Oh, well, there's been a lot of criticism. We'll talk.
It's a lot of criticism coming from not actual viewers or non-comic book readers, but it's a lot of criticism coming from the comic view readers, you know, that world.
Right.
Because I guess they actually know how these characters are supposed to look. They know how the characters are supposed to act. We're just watching the show. We're just watching and loving what we're seeing.
Right.
So when they bring on a new character, that's actually a new character for us.
Yep. All right. Negan telling Rick, you are not safe. I liked it because it reminded me of when the Terminus people, they just escaped Terminus and they were in the church. And Rick told Carl, you are not safe. No matter what you think, no matter who's around you, you are not safe. So when Negan said that to Rick, it reminded me of when Rick said it to Carl.
Yeah, you're right.
Although when Rick said it to Carl, he was saying it as a concerned father. Like, don't ever let your back down. Whereas Negan's like, dude, you were fucked. You are in our house now. We control whatever you do.
Yeah.
You're not safe. But I still like how it came back.
Just to jump off subject for a second, but stay on subject a little bit. When we saw that when the crew invaded, I guess, the savior spot, that makes me wonder, do the savior have a lot of spots when they kill people? Like, they just killed the last person of this group and they were, I guess, held up in the library. So I wonder, are they going to take over the library next? Like, when they take out a group, do they take their location?
Oh, that's a good question. I do believe that they have a lot of spots because clearly they have a lot of people. So they probably have spots here, and they had walkie-talkies when Paul and them were on there. So they probably have several little destinations set up.
And we see they have signals also.
Right.
Like when Rick turned around, when they were backing up, we see them let off 3 shots in the air at a time, 3 times.
Right.
So that's probably giving the rest of them a signal like, okay, he's coming back that way.
Which also tells me that they must have a lot of bullets because they're not scared to just be wasting bullets. Whereas Rick and them, they don't use bullets unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
All right. So last on our list of likes is just pretty much Negan. I really, really liked him. And one of the funny things that he also said to Rick when he found out that Carl was Rick's son, he was like, dude. Well, I don't know if he said dude, but he was like, don't make me kill the future serial killer. Like, yeah. I thought that was so, I like cracked up laughing. It was like a sad, sick scene that you were so scared, but there he brought some comedy into it.
Yeah.
And he's really good at that. I mean, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, he was on The Watchmen, and he played the comedian on there. And he's been on a lot of stuff, and he's just, I think, a good actor where he can play anything. So he's making this character so scary. At the same time, you kind of like him. You kind of like want to be on the savior side. But at the same time, no.
No.
Okay. Part of me, I was like, man.
I guess these are the cold feelings.
No.
I'm kind of lost. I'm kind of lost in this conversation.
No. I just really like Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I just thought he was funny when he said that. I mean, I don't think I'd probably be on his side because, like, beating someone with a bat is just never cool. So I couldn't hang with that type of behavior. But that's it for our likes, right?
Right. But I guess that they're playing the game right.
Which is what?
There's two ways to play the game. Either all the communities could get together and they could say, okay, we're going to trade. We give you this for this. If you're growing the food and we got the weapons, we're making the bullets. We trade bullets for, like, bread or whatever. And then you have the group that just want to conquer, that they want to be the, which, I mean, we see in everyday life, you have different countries and there are certain countries that just want to conquer, that they want to be the head country, the dominant country.
Right.
Which Negan want his group to be the dominant group.
Yeah, because actually when you mentioned that right now, I thought when he was like, I'm not gardening, like we're not doing any of that shit. We could, there's enough manpower for us to have our girl own stuff.
But yeah.
He's like, no, what you have, we'll take. If you don't open your doors for us, we'll push it down. So he's a taker. He doesn't want to actually be a part of the community. He just wants to own the community.
Right.
All right, so for our dislikes. The first one I want to discuss, because I saw it everywhere, was there were a lot of commercials. And a lot of people complained about that. However, I was reading up on Reddit, and someone pointed out that the average episode is 42 minutes long. Whereas this one was actually 65 minutes long. So they added 23 minutes for those extra 30 minutes. Meaning it was just 7 more minutes of commercials.
I still don't care. I don't care for that. They're trying to explain that. Personally, I think commercials are getting out of hand, period.
Commercials are getting out of hand, but this is a business. AMC is a business.
I mean, I understand that. But when I started seeing like 5 or 6 commercials between the episodes before it come back on, you know, I'm not liking that.
No, it is. It is the worst.
No, I can understand like you have maybe 3 commercials, 4 at the most. But when you start getting to 5, 6, 7, 8. When people forget what they're watching because there's so many commercials.
Right.
Then it's getting out of hand.
Okay. Okay, I mean, I did think there were a lot of commercials. Even when we rewatched it, we watched it with commercials, and it was annoying as hell. But my point is that it's no more, the ratio from show to commercial is no more than the usual amount. So it's like, if you're complaining about this one, that means you have to complain every single episode because it was the same ratio.
I do. Believe me, I do.
Okay. Okay. So that was more of a big audience dislike that I just saw everywhere I wanted to mention. The first dislike that we really have is the savior going after Carol. I don't even get that. Like, dude, you're hurt. You're about to die. You want revenge that bad that you're going to go use your last breaths, your last walk? Why didn't you go back and get help from your savior friends or go to the hilltop and make them fix you, then walk around trying to find Carol?
Right. Or just join your group to help them out.
Yeah, like, it just didn't make any sense. You're dying. Yeah,
it didn't.
Then them spraying the X on that guy, like, what was the point of that?
Yeah, I didn't get that part.
Like, when they did that, I thought when they sprayed something on him, I thought they were going to, like, light him on fire or something. Like, because they kept saying, we're going to do a demonstration. And then they later hung him. And I'm like, what was the X for?
Maybe that's what the X was for. Maybe they wanted them to see that. Remember, this is the guy we threw the X on earlier.
Okay, here he is now dead. Here he is,
right here.
Okay. But really, would it matter if that's the same guy? They did something to one guy, even if it was 2 different guys. Okay, they did something to one guy. They sprayed something on him. Uh-oh, we see another guy hung up. Do they really care if it was the same guy? Someone's hanging up right now. That's all that really matters.
Yeah, I think the saviors have too much time on their hand.
Yeah. What did Paula say? Or they were trying to be, they love theatrics.
Yeah.
That's what's going to end up getting them in trouble, I believe.
They going to get one too many speeches.
One too many speeches.
We already saw it happen. They get a speech on the road, got killed. They get a speech again this episode on the road, got killed.
And why don't they always carry those RPGs around with them when they leave? Like, they could have blown them up right now on the road if they had it with them.
Do you think they have any more?
Hopefully they have more. How many did they have? Like 3 or 4 at least, right?
Yeah, but I think they used them all.
I've only seen them used 2 times. Once for the walkers and the at Alexandria when Daryl did it in the water. And then once on the road. And I think they grabbed at least 3.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see if they use it next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think they would take those with them. That would have came in handy. Especially when they had like 20 guys standing on the truck. That would have wiped 20 out real quick.
Right. And then why take one truck? You should never take one truck. Something breaks down with that one car, always have 2 cars. Always have a backup plan, is my opinion. They should always have a backup plan. And like all of them in the RV? No, there should always be someone in another car behind you. Whether it's to go back and spread the word, whether it's just to be a distraction, or whatever. Okay, so there was a walker that Carol hurried up and locked into the crate or whatever it's called. I'm not really sure what it's called, but did you remember that part? Like right before the game guy came, the savior guy came and knocked her down?
Yeah.
I was like, what was that walker doing? Like, it was not coming out of the gate until Carol got there. Like, it was just walking around, and then when Carol gets there, it realizes the door's open.
Yeah, but remember you said the walkers are dormant until somebody comes?
I've never said that. That's what the show sometimes says.
Oh, okay.
The show makes it seem like they're sleeping until they hear a noise.
Right. Like, they just stand still. They just dormant. They're not moving. They're not alert. until they hear or smell.
Okay. Food. So maybe that's what it was. It didn't realize the door was open.
You know, and this is one big dislike I have. And it's not just on this show. It's just like period in general. I mean, these are the walking dead. These are dead people. So why are they so hungry?
I mean, the same thing could be said about vampires. They're dead.
But I'm just saying that we see some of these walkers. They don't have a stomach, no nothing. But they still want
to. Oh, they still want to eat. Even though it's only ribs. Like, where is that food going to go down to?
They still want to eat.
Okay.
Well, you know, I know that's maybe a silly dislike. It's not really a dislike. It's just an observation.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't really make rationale of walkers. They're walkers.
Yeah.
Okay, so we find out who Negan was, which we've been knowing. It doesn't explain what that guy meant earlier this season when he said, we are all Negan. What does that mean? Are they ever going to explain that to us?
I mean, maybe they're a cult.
But he came out and he introduced himself as Negan.
Yeah.
And Dwight refers to himself as Dwight. We didn't see what his right-hand man guy, his name is, but unless I hear them all get called
right.
Negan.
You're right.
You know?
Because everybody else was referring to themselves as Negan. And we still see Dwight. Well, those ladies who said, we're all Negan.
Yeah, but they refer
by their real names also.
Yeah, Paula, because that's how I knew Paula's name. And I forgot the other two names, but we knew their names. So what does Negan stand for something? Or what do they mean by we are all Negan if this guy's referring to himself as Negan too?
Like I said, maybe it's just a cult.
Okay. And then this is not necessarily a dislike, but did Eugene snitch on them? Like, because...
No.
Rick looked at him, like, sideways for a good 10 seconds.
He probably was wondering how he got caught.
Okay.
But he got caught the same way they would have got caught.
Okay, because he looked at him like, you mother effer. Like, you told on us. You told where we were going to be.
He did look at him for a long time with a serious look on his face, but I don't think that Eugene told him. I think they went to where they were going anyway, where the saviors wanted them.
Okay. And then that begs the question, why not already have a lie made up? Like, you should always have, like, if I was in that situation, you should have a lie made up already in your head. Okay, if I get caught, I'm going to tell them they went here. That lie is going to be stuck in my head. That's what I'm going to tell them no matter what. Like, that's where they went.
Well, they might never need Eugene. I mean, they waited there till nightfall. The saviors, they were in the woods. They own the woods right now. So they could have seen the whole thing go down. Could have seen them get out the truck. There could have been somebody watching them at that point. It's not like the RV was parked there for like a minute or two. They stayed in that area and tried to wait till the sun went down. Because Eugene said, it's close to nightfall. We'll make our move then. So we can't expect the saviors to stay, especially how fast they move around. This one guy who was right here got to every location so quick that we know they move around there in the woods. So they could have saw the whole thing take place. Plus, they're familiar with that area. Rick and them, they more familiar with that area probably on foot than really on main roads. These people probably grew up here. In fact, we know they grew up there.
Oh, yeah, because Dwight mentioned that.
Yeah, Dwight mentioned that. He mentioned that in a Daryl episode when they stole his motorcycle.
And plus, Rick and them are not really familiar. You see everywhere they go, they're looking at the map to see how to get to where they need to go.
But you can't go to like a small town where people have been all their lives and think that you're going to get one up on them. They know every back road, front road, shortcut in the woods. They know everything about that town. You're looking at the map and you're thinking, you know, you're taking this road that you're driving like 5 minutes around when from this spot to this spot is only 2 minutes on foot.
No, I agree. They had the upper hand, the saviors.
They had upper hand, big time.
Well, that is it for our likes and dislikes, and we appreciate you guys listening this season. We now are going to go to listener letters, and just to remind you, we are covering Fear the Walking Dead, which starts next Sunday, or this upcoming Sunday on the 10th. You can still email us at dead@theverdictsin.com. That is dead@theverdictsin.com to send your questions or comments there on that show. We have a comment here on Facebook from KJ, and he wrote, I predict Daryl and Glenn to go in the finale. Rick needs a fresh wingman, and Glenn has used all 9 of his lives this season.
Yeah, I agree with him. And in fact, he's straight from
Atlanta,
right?
Right in our hometown, or the current city we live in.
Yeah.
Gary's hometown.
My hometown.
All right. We have Gloria. She wrote us. She said, I knew that Morgan and Carol had a connection from the beginning.
Well, you don't fight like that when you, if you don't like each other.
Yeah. I thought it was love, but I don't think it's love. I think it's just a...
It was a couple of love taps, a little love body slams and stuff. Man.
They were just tussling.
They were just tussling a little bit.
Okay. All right. And we have Yolanda wrote to us. She wrote, hey, Nicole and Gary, hot damn, I'm crushing on Negan. You are not alone. Everyone is. I mean, everyone's loved Negan since he was Danny on Grey's Anatomy. But she wrote, I know I'm supposed to hate him, but he was so smooth. Shoot, he gave Glenn the freebie for moving when he threatened Maggie. I like this guy. I started to be mad about the ending, but this is exactly what a cliffhanger is supposed to do. Leave you hanging. And yeah, when with her saying that real quickly, I've seen nothing but hate on the cliffhanger part. And I was on Reddit before we started podcasting, and someone mentioned how Scott Gimple was on The Talking Dead. And I guess Scott Gimple said, hey, why do you guys hate the cliffhangers? Lost did it in season one when you open the hatch, and that's how season one ends. Or is that season two? It's either season one or season two, one of the seasons. That's how Lost ended. And everyone loved Lost, the beginning, the first few seasons at least. And that's exactly what I thought when I saw this. It was the same feeling I had when I watched Lost. You're like, oh, shit. Like, who's in the hatch? What's down there? So I didn't mind the cliffhanging. I know a lot of people did. But what did you feel about the cliffhanging?
I hated it.
You do?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Why do you hate it so much?
I don't hate it for a reason that a lot of people hate it. Cause a lot of people hate it because like they read the comic books and they know who's supposed to die right now. But, I mean, you can give me mine now. You don't have to make me wait the next season.
Okay. That instant gratification you want.
Instant gratification. All right. I got to know. And I still think it had the same effect. If we would have saw who they killed now or who he beat severely, then we would still tune in for next season to see how Rick's group got out of this.
I agree, but I think, okay, people have to understand, AMC is a business. Yes, they are here. They're supposed to be here for their audience. They're supposed to be here for their viewers. But their bottom line is business and who's watching.
But that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if they would have showed us, we would have still watched.
Yes, but as mad as people are, I'm not watching. I'm done. Bullshit. You're going to be there season 7 opening day to see who they killed. You're going to be there. And that's don't care if you're talking bad about them. You're still talking about them.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm saying that it still wouldn't have mattered one way or another. The same people would have came back. Same people would have been disappointed. No matter who died, somebody's going to be disappointed. No matter who died, everybody's going to tune in to see what happens next season.
No, I agree. But I'm thinking they didn't kill the person that they killed in the comic book. So if they killed this person versus the person that they killed in the comic book, people were going to be mad about that. If they kill the person that they killed in the comic book, well, people probably wouldn't be mad about that, but they would find something else to complain about. People complain just to complain. So I think either way they were going to complain, so you might as well get them to complain, talk bad about it, and then secretly watch season opener, seven season. I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to have a really big season 7 opener.
They are, but I think they would have had one regardless. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Now, Fear the Walking Dead may get some slack because people are so pissed off. And I know a lot of people didn't like season 1 of Fear the Walking Dead. So people might be so done with it, they don't tune into Fear. But by 7 months down the road, people are going to be forgetting that they were mad to begin with. They're going to be like, I can't wait for Walking Dead.
Yeah, probably by next week.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, I give it.
When Game of Thrones come back on.
Game of Thrones comes back on, that's going to distract them. They're going to be on something else.
Game of Thrones left us on a cliffhanger.
Yes, they did. And people were pissed off about that. You know what?
It wasn't really a cliffhanger. We seen Jon Snow die.
Yes.
So.
But then he's on the posters.
Yeah.
So who knows? Okay. Let's continue. Yolanda's email. She wrote, anybody think Carol and Morgan will be hooking up next season? I don't know. If they hook up, it will be kind of a little scandalous, like the Abraham-Sasha thing. Because then what is Tobin going to think? He's going to be like, you left and then you come back with Morgan and now you're with him? I don't know. It would just be a little, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know, but I hope they find peace with this new group.
Yeah, these superheroes, I hope they find peace with them. All right, sure. I ain't fair and shit goes to Eugene. He knew that was a suicide mission driving the RV. I almost shed a tear when he hugged Abraham. Most likely to die is Daryl. I don't think Negan would kill the girls. He strikes me as a ladies' man. Abraham was too ready to die for Negan's taste. I say Daryl because they didn't really show him in the lineup. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, at least I got you guys for 8 more weeks with Fear the Walking Dead. Woohoo! Thanks, Yolanda.
Thanks, Yolanda.
P.S. Nicole, I don't like Morgan any more or less than I did before. And now that the moral stick has been pulled out of his butt, he can contribute more to the group. Till next week, Yolanda. Thanks, Yolanda. Good feedback there. I'm glad she's going to be listening to the Fear of the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Watching it, listening as well. All right. And then we have an email from Ralph. All right. Ralph wrote, Hi, Nicole and Gary. I don't like how absolutely everyone left the Alexandrians unprotected under the threat of attack except for Father Gabriel.
Yeah.
And he's right. True. It was kind of like, why are all... I mean, I know all these people made their point to Rick why they need to go. And I know they said, hey, it's safe here. But if you're having conversations about how it's so called, quote-unquote, safe in Alexandria, then maybe you don't believe it's fully safe. You know the saviors are out there. They kept saying that. We know they're out here. Well, if you know they're out there, how do you know they're not going to come to you guys? Rick and them saw that Carol's car was attacked. I mean, come on. He should have put his foot down and said no. Or Rick should have been the leader and said, okay, well, then I'll stay behind because I need to make the executive decision. I can't make you guys stay. I will stay.
And it would have been a different show if Rick would have stayed behind.
If Rick and Carl, he wouldn't have let Carl go. So it would have been different.
I think if Rick was the only one to stay behind, it would have been a different show.
Because Rick, who knows what they would have did when they met him on the road.
Yeah, I think it would have been a different show if Rick just stayed behind by himself. Because we know that Carl and Abraham, they're ready. Carl been saying, let's finish this like 18 guys in.
Right. All right, Ralph continues. I don't like that Carol was lying down outside on a porch in daylight in order for Morgan, walkers, or anyone for that matter to find her.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though she kind of looked half dead.
Yeah, she was ready.
Yeah, I don't think if it was like another bad person, I don't even think they would have paid attention to Carol. A walker probably could smell her and come, but I think she was at that point. She really didn't give a F this episode. She wasn't caring.
Yeah, she was ready.
She was ready to die. I don't like that none of those hungry walkers were around that meat noisy horse inside the fence.
Yeah, there's a couple of places that walkers should have been. But weren't.
Right.
There's just a lot of stuff going on.
I like the tension Negan built up to deciding who to kill.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
And that's one of the places I was surprised that the walkers didn't try to invade on.
Even playing a kid's theme song, the Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe or whatever. Is that the one he did? Or
yeah.
That was just hearing that kid song turn into something so evil was crazy.
Yeah, when he said, my mama told me.
I was like, oh my gosh. And he said it like so nice and clear, and it was crazy. You would never think he's gonna kill someone if you just were listening. Yeah. I don't like having to wait 6 months to find out who died. Yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about it, but it keeps I'll get so distracted. 2 weeks from now I'll be forgetting about it because we'll be watching Fear and we'll be watching Game of Thrones, and after that something else will come on. And then sometime in August, you'll see trailers for The Walking Dead, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, that show. You know, you'll forget about it. So I say just let it go. Listen to the podcast and just move on. We'll forget about it. Trust me.
Yeah.
We're easily distracted. We're humans. Thank you, Ralph, for writing to us.
Yeah, thanks, Ralph.
And we also want to give a special shout out to Caitlin. That's Ralph's 11-year-old daughter who listens to the podcast.
Thank you, Caitlin.
Thank you, Caitlin. Hopefully you're on your spring break as well, or maybe you went last week, or maybe next week. And thank you guys to all of you who wrote this season or who plans on writing next season for Fear the Walking Dead. We enjoy seeing your comments and reading them on air. And we shall be back next week, Sunday, with our instant cast on Fear. But real quickly, we do have an award and prediction to give out.
Yes. I guess I'll start it off.
All right.
And I'm going to go ahead and give the I Ain't Fearing Shit Award to Carl.
Carl?
Yeah, because Carl obviously wasn't fearing shit.
Okay, is he a first-time winner? I think this is first time.
Yeah, this is Carl's first time.
All right.
No, this is second time.
Okay.
Because Carl got the I Ain't Fearing Shit Award before for hanging out with
Ron.
Ron.
Okay. Damn, times have changed.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give it to Carl because Carl, he's hard. Carl's not really scared of anything. So I think even after the beating whoever took, I don't think Carl's gonna change. I think what's gonna be on Carl's mind is how can we get payback?
You're right.
So I think he's gonna be the hot gun that they have to keep calm next season.
Right. And that, and going back to what Yolanda said about she doesn't think Negan killed a girl, and I'm not trying to say like a girl can't be tough or whatever, but I do think it was a man that he killed, because he's like, you taking it like a champ when he was slamming the bat on their head.
Well, it still could have been
a girl. Something about the way he said it made me think it was a guy.
Because it still could have been Michonne.
Oh my gosh. They better not. They better not. Now I'm getting mad. It better not be Michonne. All right, I ain't fearing shit award this week. I'm gonna have to give it to Negan. Negan was a badass. He clearly is not scared of nothing. He is up there talking all types of shit to Rick and his crew, picking who he's gonna kill. Any, meeny, miny, mo. Like, he's not fearing shit. He's a badass.
Well, I mean. Gary, I don't really agree.
Yeah, I can tell you don't agree.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wouldn't be fearing shit if I had like 100 guys around me.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's easy to talk all this crap and have, you know, about eight people, right? Yeah. But I have all those people on their knees when you have 100 guys surrounding them with guns. But you know, I haven't seen him in a real situation.
To say that he's not fearing shit.
Right.
Okay, like if it was him and Rick by themselves.
One-on-one.
One-on-one, okay.
Because, you know, we see how hard Rick is. But we saw that Rick was shaking the hardest.
Right. I'm going to stick with my word. I thought he wasn't fearing shit. I don't know. All right. Most likely to die. Or most likely, let's say most likely who died this episode.
Or who took the whooping from the bat.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you who I would have hit with the bat if I was Negan.
Okay.
I would have took out Abraham, because Abraham, like, he's going to be a problem.
Right. And that's what he looked at him. He's like, damn.
Yeah. But what I think I'm going to go ahead and say that I think it was Michonne.
You really think he would have did that to Michonne?
I think he did.
What makes you think that? Like, why?
For the same reason you think it was a guy, I just think it was a girl. And for his choice of words, you're taking it like a champ.
Damn, that makes me sick to my stomach. That really does. Like, I don't know why, but when you said that, that makes me sick to my stomach if it was Michonne. I mean, it's sick to my stomach regardless. Like, how could you do... I'm sorry, I would have rather gotten shot. I would have got up and ran and just got shot. Like, kill me now. I can't take it. Like, that's probably what I would have did.
I thought about that. I'm like, man, they all made it far enough. They did a good job.
Yeah.
Why did you just go out swinging?
Go out swinging. That's what I think. But all right, with you, I'm going to do two like you kind of did. Like, I think if I was him, I would have took out Abraham as well. Or maybe took out Rick. I don't know. Take out Abraham or Rick. Probably Abraham, because I think on like kind of the Hunger Games, when they were going to kill all the people and they were like, that lets them know even their strongest can't survive. And if you take out Abraham, who's so big and so tough, that'll just make them feel even more weaker. It's like, imagine if you see someone beating up the Rock. You see the Rock get his ass whipped, you know. You're like, okay, I'm not saying anything. Like, you know that person's tough. So I think that's who he should have did. But who I think he did Daryl. Daryl was already shot for whatever weird reason Dwight did that to him. I don't know. Might as well kill him because he wants people to work for him. And how is Daryl going to be able to work for him if he's hurt? You know, he has he's shot on his arm. He's not going to be able to lift stuff and carry stuff for him. So I think he killed Daryl. I don't want any of them to die, but I think that's who he did. All right, you guys. Well, we will be back next Sunday. Thank you so much for listening to our Walking Dead podcast.
Yeah. And I want to take the time out to say, please go on iTunes, give us a rating, a review. That's real big in the podcast world. That lets people know about you. That'll put us up there on iTunes list. And also, thank you very much for enjoying the season with us.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, please do, as Gary said, leave us a review and rating. It's such a big deal. We've been podcasting exactly for a year. We started last season with Game of Thrones, which was our very first podcast, and we've only been doing it for a year, and it can only help us if you leave us reviews and ratings.
Yeah, we are independent podcasters.
Independent.
We do this because we love it.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We will see you next Sunday on Fear the Walking Dead, their instant cast, and we'll see how they're starting this second season off. Until then, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.
Bye.